Spirit at Front Range Bible Church. Doesn't mark a change in the spirit of our church or in the distinctives of our church. We remain a Bible teaching church, a church that's steadfast in the idea that salvation is a free and everlasting gift from God, and a church that knows the priority of Christian virtue, love. So with these things in mind, I'd like Bernie to come up and begin us with prayer. Just, there you go. It's all yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. Our special guests. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bernie. I'm one of the elders here, one of many that we have. We are just flush with elders. So let's go ahead and take a few moments for silent prayer, and then we'll get into a prayer and kick this thing off. Merciful and gracious Father, we are gathered here today as the transition from one leader to another takes place in the church. Father, we ask that you will be here with us, that you will bless this, that we will, throughout this service, give all glory to you, and that the things that we learn from this service, as we will be taught, that everything we learn from this service will go to edify us, to make us more humble, more forthright Christians in everything we do, and that our thoughts, words, and deeds will glorify you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bernie. So next we have a series of charges, not accusations, mind you, but charges. In other words, exhorting words from five different men who have consented. We hope to have another one from Dr. Jeremy Thomas this week. But I'll follow up with my brief words as well. But in no particular order, because I'm not sure the order on the videos that we have, these gentlemen were kind enough to share, four of them kind enough to share videos. So Dr. Andy Woods from Sugarland Bible Church in Sugarland, Texas. Also David Roseland, almost Dr. David Roseland, from Preston City Bible Church in Preston, Connecticut. Did we determine if Dennis Roxer is a doctor?
He might be.
Might be Dr. Dennis Roxer. Pastor of Duluth Bible Church in Duluth, Minnesota. David Kester, also pastor in Malcolm, Nebraska. Faith Community Church, is that right?
Northwest
Community Church, Malcolm, Nebraska. And then finally, Dr. Clay Ward of Tullahoma Bible Church in Tennessee. I will be reading his words and his prayer for our congregation. So each of these men have distinguished themselves in their own ministries by keeping a firm reliance on the grace of God and a firm stance on the sacred, inerrant word of God. So let's listen to what they have to say.
Well, greetings, Front Range Bible Church. My name is Pastor David Kester, and greetings to Amanda and Jake and the kids. And I just have the privilege to just say congratulations and affirm Jacob, Pastor Jacob, excuse me, as your next pastor. I refer to him as Jake most of the time because I've known Jake since he was about 8 or 9 years old. He was our neighbor across the fence, and he played with our kids, and we invited Jake to come to church when he was younger, and he came to faith in Christ at Mountain View Bible Church in Liberty, Utah. And it's been my privilege and my wife's and our family's privilege to know Jake and count him as part of our family, and to just watch God change his heart as he grew up to be a man, and just making decisions later in his life to follow the Lord and to serve him, to go to school and be trained, and to just sense God's call on his life. And I just want to say congratulations to Pastor Jacob, and just to affirm all of you at Front Range Bible Church that you have a great pastor, a man of God, a man that is committed to the preaching and teaching expositorily of God's word, and he is so faithful. And I just want to affirm that the Spirit of God has used and will use Pastor Jacob in the ministry there in Denver. And he is a man that is patient. He is a man that is discerning. He is a man that is filled with grace and humility. And to me, those are all of the qualities necessary to shepherd God's people. And so, Pastor Jake, I love you. I love Amanda, your two boys. And we are so excited to just see how God will use you in the ministry there in Denver. And to all of the church family there, I just want you guys to know that you've made the right decision, and God's going to bless this new time and new season of ministry together with the Eaton. So, hey, I wish I was there in person to see you be installed, Pastor Jake, but just know that I love you and excited to see what God will do. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you down the road.
All right, Dr. Andy Woods here, and I'm the president of Chafer Theological Seminary. I want to give a special note of congratulation to Jacob Heaton, and it's always exciting when one of our students is installed as a shepherd and officially recognized pastor-teacher over a flock, a church, and so this is a neat time for him and for us. Just a verse or two by way of remembrance during this special time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy, a pastor, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And in the same book, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, exhort, rebuke with great patience and instruction." And just one more, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and following, it says, Paul writing to the Ephesians, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And so, Jacob, based on these passages, you have an awesome calling before you. And at this point, We're going to pause for a word of prayer just for you. Father, we just lift up Jacob in this calling. I specifically pray for him, that he can fulfill this calling. I pray for his family. I pray for the entire local congregation there, that his ministry may be brought to fruition. He may successfully run his lap, so to speak, in the relay race and pass the baton on, and he might do what you called him to do there at that particular local church. And this is an exciting time for him, an exciting time for us. So with these wonderful scriptures in mind, we just lift him up to you by way of prayer at this very special installation service. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and God's people said amen. Jacob, God bless you, and we're praying for you. God bless.
Warmest greetings in the Lord. I'm Dennis Rockster, Senior Pastor of Duluth Bible Church, and I've been asked to say a few words on this momentous occasion in which Jacob Heaton is being installed as the pastor there at the Front Range Bible Church. First of all, our heart claps for you and Amanda as you embark on this pastoral ministry. You know, this isn't your first pastorate, and I trust that God has taught you many things in your first pastor that will be a benefit to the saints there in that local church. Since I'm a pastor, I'd like to just share a few thoughts from the Word of God with you and with the elders there and the congregation relative to this ministry and this occasion. Found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. This seems very appropriate as it's written by Paul to a young pastor regarding pastoral ministry. And the first thing I note in verse 16 is the necessity of feeding the flock of God, using the Word of God, teaching it in an expository, biblical manner. It says in verse 13, feel like give attention to reading. That's reading the scriptures, reading the text, to exhortation and to doctrine. And indeed, you want to read the text, you want to explain the text, you want to apply the text of the Word of God, because you see, the weakness of the Church of Jesus Christ today is not due to poor programming, it's due to poor teaching. It's like the old saying, it's time to quit entertaining the ghosts and start feeding the sheep. And indeed, you have the privilege, Jacob, and the opportunity to do that there at the Front Range Bible Church. I trust that that congregation appreciates teaching ministry from the Word of God, that the elders support it, that you can guard your time to be able to devote a significant amount of time to study the Word of God. Not at the expense of pastoral care, but as every person does their part, and as the saints are equipped, they can do the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And in teaching the Word of God, Jacob, you want to teach it again in a clear, accurate, practical, simple way that resonates with people. And this is not a doctrinal information dump, nor is it, again, longhorn preaching, a point here and a point there, a lot of bull in between. Nor is it cotton candy preaching, in which you come along, it looks really wonderful, but it's all fluff and doesn't really feed the soul of the Word of God when it's needed for spiritual growth. Because it's one thing to bring someone to faith in Christ and giving them the gospel. It's another thing for them to mature in the faith, and to do that, they need to be fed the Word of God, but not at the expense of the gospel, but in coordination with the gospel. For the gospel is what Christianity is really all about Jesus Christ, about the fact that as God, he became a man who died for our sins and rose again, and through his finished work provides salvation from sin's penalty, and then from sin's power, and one day from sin's presence, all by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, I'm reminded in verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. This is a reminder, Jacob, that you've been given a spiritual gift called pastor-teacher, and not a lot of people have been given that gift, and unto much is given. which is required. It's required of stewards that a man become faithful. And so you don't want to neglect that, and you don't want to neglect the ministry God has for you as well. I trust that won't be the problem, but this is a reminder, because indeed you've been entrusted with this ministry and with this gift, and it's been affirmed by the elders as well in the past, and I trust in the present too, and as a result, as a collective leadership team, you can feed and lead God's flock there at Front Range, and I trust they will appreciate that and see the value of it. But in order for this to occur, you need to keep walking and growing in the Lord yourself. And that's what verse 15 is about. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Keep in mind, Jacob, you don't minister in a vacuum. You minister out of the context of your own walk and growth in Jesus Christ. So be more concerned about the depth of your walk, the depth of your growth, than the breadth of your ministry. Because the Lord will take care of that as you keep your focus on the Lord. And that's why verse 16 gives us two closing commands with two consequences. And notice the order of it. He says, take heed to yourself. First and foremost, seek to be what the Lord would have you to be. Keep a close eye on your own walk, a close eye on your own growth. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, the study and the teaching of the Word of God. And continue in them. That's the second thing. Don't just start like that. Continue. Some pastors start well and they end poorly. So you're guarding your heart, you're guarding your walk, you're guarding your life, as it were, and you're spending time in the Word of God. And notice the consequences. It'll have a saving effect upon yourself, as the Word of God does amazing things within your own life in delivering you from the damaging effects of sin and maturing you as a believer so that you grow in love and faith and hope and more like Jesus Christ. But secondly, it'll impact your listeners as well, those that hear you. And those messages will come from the Word of God. Those messages will minister to people's needs. Those messengers will point people to Jesus Christ, not only a Savior whom they have trusted, but as a Lord whom they are yielded to every day. And as their very life that they are to abide in Christ so that they can bear fruit to the glory of God. And so keep in mind, again, you're not the Lord of the church. You're simply a shepherd under the Lord. And that the Lord can direct you and enable you. And I trust that this congregation appreciates it, appreciates the ministry. And I know at first you're kind of in a honeymoon of it all, and as time goes on, reality sets in more and more, but I trust that over the years of God's faithfulness there, that He will be honored, and whatever is accomplished may be remembered. To God be the glory, great things He has. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for this installation service, for directing Jacob and Amanda. Father, we just thank you for Amanda as well. We know that what a valuable asset a pastor's wife is on board, walking and growing, wanting to serve the Lord is, and we're just grateful for that as well. And we just pray, Father, that you could accomplish your objectives through this local church, that the saints would be further equipped, that they would be willing to do the work of ministry, that this would result in the edifying of the body of Christ, and that this church could be a bright light for Christ in a dark world. They're a lampstand in the Denver area, and we just commit it all to you. Thank you again, in Jesus' name.
Greetings from Preston City Bible Church in the quiet corner of southeastern Connecticut, Preston, Connecticut. It's an honor. Great honor to be with you today this way, Front Range Bible Church, Pastor Mark, Renee, Pastor Jacob, family and friends. Jacob Patrick Heaton in Front Range Bible Church, what you're doing today is wonderful and rare. Consider the past, Jacob. You are the legacy of the pastors who came before you and on whose shoulders you're standing. You are for today and the present, the continuation of pastoral leadership for this dear group of believers. And your work will impact the future in ways none of us can begin to imagine. God knows, but we have no idea what lives you're going to touch and how they're going to be used by God and his objectives. Today I want to say something that will be of use to you as you march forward in the work to which God is calling you. And I want these thoughts to be easy to remember, so I'll put it in the metaphor of shepherd and sheep, as the Lord Jesus Christ charged Peter in the conclusion of John's Gospel in John chapter 21, when Jesus three times told Peter what it meant to be a good shepherd. It would be to feed his flock. Well, if you're a shepherd, and that's what pastor in Latin means, you know, one name is Greek for shepherd, and so is pastor. It's Latin for shepherd. That's why we put sheep in the pasture. If you're a sheep herder, and your flock and your church is the sheep, then we have to keep three things in mind. I'll be brief, and I'll speak in threes. The three thoughts that I want you to remember that I would charge you with as a pastor, looking to stand shoulder to shoulder with you in the work to which God has called us. Start with the concept of the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is both poimen and episkopos. He is the great shepherd and overseer of the sheep. They're his sheep. And so the concept that I would challenge you with is that you need to be the lowly shepherd under the great shepherd. Going by Philippians chapter 3, you're never going to arrive. We'll never get there until we are there, and then our fight is over. So keep studying and stay humble. It is an easy road to point to this pastoral humility, but sometimes it's hard for us to see when we've left the path. I believe the most important virtue for pastor teachers is humility because of the authority that comes with the assignment. The people are looking to you all too often to find out what is the right answer. What do I do? What does the Bible say? When we find answers that are not in the Bible, we are out on a limb, and usually, without even thinking about it, we will make our wise pronouncements from the cover of our office. Well, beloved, my brother in Christ, Front Range Bible Church, there is no cover but God's Word, and our ideas are only as good as they correspond to it. So stay humble. Stay accountable to your people. Learn how to speak to them with dignity and respect, and overall, remember the great shepherd. You're going to study and you're going to teach. You need to yourself be saturated with these things that you're studying and teaching so that they're really who you are before they are what you say. The only way to do that is to stay humble and stay connected, to abide in the vine, to stay connected to the great shepherd, to recognize constantly that we're under him. As a practical note, I would challenge you as you get in the pulpit, it'll be easy to do this at first, and then you'll get comfortable and forget. But every time you get in the pulpit, before you tell them, okay, let's bow for a time of silent prayer, or however you start, you need to have a little moment yourself where you're telling God what he already knows. This has to be a work of you through me. It has to be what you want, not what I want. Start with him and ask his help every time. Second thought, O shepherd, is the rarest and most wonderful thing in all the world to a pastor is a sheep with a taste for good grass. We live in a land of starving sheep who relish their malnourishment. I don't mean Connecticut, and I don't mean Colorado. I mean what I know of the United States, the culture I live in. So often Christians in our country just do not want the word. So very often their shepherds pander to what they want, something besides the word. It is interesting they say you cannot make sheep eat corn. They're trying to feed corn to everything. They've got the cows eating corn. They're feeding catfish corn. But the sheep can't do it. Their body can't do it. It has to be grass-fed. Every lamb chop at the butcher is grass-fed. I believe the sheep in our nation tend to seek anything but good grass. But not so at Front Range Bible Church or here at Preston City Bible Church. You are a rare shepherd in that you will insist on feeding them the Word of God. Not your cleverly arranged ideas about the Word so much as the Word itself. You will not assume they already understand its meaning from a cursory reading of the New Living Translation. No, you're going to teach them what it says, what it means, how it fits with the rest of God's revelation, and how to live it. For doing this, you precious and rare gem of the pastor, you will be rewarded with hearers who want the Word. And those who don't, they won't be there. In these days, it seems unlikely that such a church will be very large. And then a lot of times you'll take it on yourself and say, I'm just not doing a good enough job. And maybe that's true. There are a lot of factors in how a church runs. A lot of factors. But you just have to keep doing what you know you need to do before the Lord as you're depending on Him. You, O man of God, do not feed them what they want if they don't want God's word. There are plenty of people in town that will do that. You will be innocent, as Paul says in Acts chapter 20, of the blood of all men, if you'll share with them the whole counsel of God's word. Finally, what is the point in our sheep and shepherd metaphor of having a flock? Why would someone have this? Why does a landowner set aside land, buy the flock, pay someone to watch the flock? Why does he do this? Think about the agribusiness side of this idea of sheep and shepherds. Well, you buy a piece of land and you grow a crop on it and you sell the crop to market. And so part of it is the flock itself. You can sell some of the flock. Well, that doesn't work with my metaphor. Sometimes it's for meat. We're not eating the sheep. That's not what we're talking about. But I think that, obviously, the crop of the flock that you don't sell is the wool that you shear off of it when it comes time to shear it. It's the wool crop. The crop of the flock is the wool. And so what is the wool crop of Front Range Bible Church? What is it supposed to be? What is the product, Jacob, that God wants to see from your shepherding efforts? I am convinced that it could be described as spiritual growth in them. It could be the consequence of spiritual growth in a faithful life of living out what God's word requires. The walk by the Spirit is the beginning of a life described throughout the epistles in the New Testament and the Gospels. But I think we have a pretty good summary from one of our forebears, the shepherd on whose shoulders we're standing, the Apostle Paul, who tells Timothy what would be a good summary outcome of your efforts, O shepherd. The goal of our instruction in 1 Timothy 1:5 is love. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So you're going to stay humble, and you're going to stay under the great shepherd and recognize that you're working for him, and you're abiding in him, and you're doing this for him. You're going to keep your finger in the Bible and give them the Word of God because it's the only thing that they desperately need. And when they come to you for counseling and they say, I need to talk to you, Pastor, and they're new and they've been around for a couple of weeks, they just need to have someone talk to them, you are going to be ready to share with them a message you're going to say 1,000 times. And it will be that there's nothing you need more than a steady intake and diet of God's Word, not just taken in, but lived out. And you need to improve your prayer life because we all need to improve our prayer lives. You need to be ready to give them that kind of loving counsel as they're seeking something besides the Word of God. Finally, because you're going to have your finger in the Bible and you're going to be abiding in Christ, you're going to be producing, as far as it depends on you, the crop will be from God's work in them. It will be love. these people that you're ministering to are going to grow spiritually. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, that's love. That they would increase and abound in love for one another and for all, even as we do for you. This is going to be the outcome of your faithfulness in God's word. Your people are going to love more every time they get in the word together. And that love is not going to simply be filial affection. And it's not going to be phony. And it's not going to be, well, we're supposed to love each other. But it will be a choice. It'll be that selfless, Christ-like consideration of what does God want for the other. And so what do I choose for myself regarding this person? That selfless, self-giving, that is John 3:16, for God loved the world this way. He gave his only begotten Son. Your people are going to learn more and more and grow deeper and deeper in their capacity to love one another and all. And that is going to be the basis for your fulfillment as a family, as a church family, of the Great Commission and the environs in which you live. In ways that you, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or whenever you assemble, you're not going to see. You're not going to see the effects in the individuals in their interactions, in their ministries, but you'll be equipping them for it. May God bless your ministry. May God bless a friendship between us as we get to know each other and I get to see you work. May God bless Front Range Bible Church with his word, with this growth in the capacity to love. I know there's a lot of praying today, but let me close just briefly with a word of prayer. Father, I bless you and praise you for Jacob, for his family, for the work that you have in front of him. Father, I bless you and praise you for Front Range Bible Church, how you brought this together. And I pray for a long and successful ministry that will bring glory to you, even as these sheep are fed, strengthened, and equipped to do your work. We ask it for your glory, in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That was great. So, I think I'm going to turn this off. I have a letter from Pastor Clay Ward. Many of you know Clay. A good friend in the ministry. And he has written a pastoral charge for Jacob Heaton. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul gave Timothy a climatic charge before concluding with some personal instructions. The solemn tone inherent in the charge seems to be related to Paul's awareness of not being long for this earth. Therefore, the charge is laced with deep feelings. Paul's words emphasize the ongoing aspect of the charge made in the presence of God, the Father, and the Son. It seems the Apostle Paul considered the presence of God as a present reality and not just a distant future. Hence, the charge Paul gave to Timothy is the same exhortation being given to you today, Jacob. Whatever place of ministry the Lord provides for you, you are responsible to the Lord and the Lord alone. Be warned, the enemy will place obstacles in your path to try and steer you away from the clear command set forth by the Apostle Paul. Paul's emphasis on God's presence was designed to stimulate faithfulness to the work of the ministry. In verse 2, Paul gave five brisk commands in the aorist tense with no connecting particles, giving the force of rapid-fire commands. The aorist tense signifies the prompt priority action Timothy needed to take and serves as the heart of the charge. First, the command to preach identifies the primary task of the man of God rightly handling the word of truth to proclaim that truth to others. The minister who preaches places the focus on the word of God. The second command involves the ongoing readiness to carry out the task, regardless of the season. Jacob, you're entering into this task at a time when preaching the word is not in season. But remember, our responsibility is to the Lord, to whom we will both give an account. The third, fourth, and fifth commands come in rapid succession to be carried out with patience and teaching. The patience needed in this endeavor, which cannot come from the flesh, but must be the production of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Furthermore, sound, reasonable instruction from Scripture must accompany those actions because the authority lies in the text of Scripture. All of these commands stand in parallel with the primary purpose of the Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. In verses 3 and 4, Paul provided the reason for the charge by describing the out-of-season characteristics. Paul warned Timothy about those desiring new things that cater to the flesh, so Timothy will not conform to the pressure. Consequently, the measure of your preaching and your teaching is not the response of the people, but your faithfulness to God's truth. Sound teaching of the faith will not satisfy those looking to have the flesh indulged, but that should not keep the devoted minister from faithfully preaching the message. Finally, verses 5 through 8 renewed the charge with a focus on the foundation for the charge. Timothy must keep on exercising self-control in the midst of all this to carry out the ministry faithfully. Ongoing habitual control makes the patience and faithfulness to the Lord possible in some distinct areas identified by Paul through three aorist imperatives. Ill treatment will come to the minister who is faithful out of season, 2 Timothy 3:12. Although persecutions will come, that must not deter Timothy or you from the primary work of preaching God's word. Such work requires moving forward by relying completely upon the Lord to fulfill the ministry. Interestingly, Paul not only charged Timothy with the task, but Paul serves as the example of one who had fulfilled the task. Paul's life had been a living sacrifice in service to the Lord, something all believers are called to do, and especially the minister of the gospel, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Jacob, Paul's charge to Timothy is the same charge being set before you today. God has gifted you and prepared you for this work of the ministry, but as Paul indicated to Timothy, that is not enough. The pressure on the soul as a minister of the gospel can only be endured in a dependent walk upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions we have in him. As you received him, you must walk in him. The faith-obedient walk of dependence is the only way to be found like Paul and able to say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Jacob, be assured of our prayers as you begin this call God has given to you. And then he launches into prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are reminded of your grace as we have the opportunity in Christ to come before your throne of grace. We thank you for the freedom that you continue to provide to gather together and worship you in spirit and truth. As we look around our country and see many things going against your revealed will, we know that you are in control and are faithful. The calling of Jacob to serve as pastor of Front Range Bible Church serves as a testimony to your faithfulness as you continue raising men up for your service. We ask that you strengthen Jacob and give him the courage to do what is biblical, regardless of the circumstances, so that you are glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, what a great group of messages. Wow. You know, I thought of what I wanted to say, and all of those thoughts that those gentlemen shared were surely mine. And, you know, I thought, well, they're probably going to cover all the good stuff. And so, in any event, I just wanted to share a couple of Bible verses. I deeply appreciate David Roseland's message. I first met him a very brief time after he was installed at Preston City, and he really got to the heart of it. He said a couple of things. He said, first, humility, and only the humble can lead. That's just it. Only humble people can lead. And second, he said that you should be producing love. So let me read 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. John the apostle wrote these things as he was quite advanced in age, we think. And there is even a kind of an anecdote that in the end, as John approached his time of departure, that he just would repeat over and over again, love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Most of all, that's for Front Range First. And when I say Front Range, I mean Jacob and Amanda. If we could have Jacob, you and your family gather up here, I think I'd rather come up on stage here because we're on camera. So anyway, and then the way we're going to do this, we're going to try to crowd up here. And you all can come up as well if you feel led, especially to pray. These two gentlemen in front are going to start that prayer, and if you would come up as well, we'd appreciate that. For mom and mother-in-law, would you come up as well? We'd really like your family to be up here. And, of course, Bernie, elder of Front Range, we can... might have to make a little extra room for me and Bernie. So. Thank you. All right. Right in here. All right, I may be off camera, but somehow that's apropos. So, anyway, one, two. And then whoever else wants to pray, I'm closing. All right.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here today, to be a part of this service, to see Jacob and Amanda, to be installed here at Front Range. Lord, we thank you for their testimony over the years, the time that Jacob spent at Frontier, the time I got to know him there, to see him grow, to see how he had a servant's heart. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for his desire to continue to serve you. And as we've heard these challenges this morning, Lord, that as pastor and teacher, he would be the example to his flock in all the areas that you talk about in Scripture, in purity, in love, in kindness. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work not only in his life, but in the lives of the people of this church as he shepherds this flock. And we thank you so much for him, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jacob and Amanda and their love for you, for their testimony in the faith. And Father, I pray that you'll continually fill them with your Holy Spirit, that might totally depend upon you and their life, their ministry, as well as the life and ministry of the whole flock here, will be because of your presence. Because, Father, you honor your word. You honor salvation, Father, that is only through your Son, Jesus Christ, as the free and wonderful gift that it is. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless Jacob's preaching as he preaches the word, in season as out of season, as we've heard. Father, I pray for Amanda. Continue to give her a warm and tender spirit to love you. May she be a woman of prayer, a woman of encouragement, because, Father, we believe she now is that, and may she continue to be that throughout her ministry. Father, thank you for this precious flock. We could tell walking in here and shaking hands and talking to people that this is a flock that loves you. May their love for you grow. May they grow in grace and knowledge of you. Give them greater wisdom and understanding as their love for you and for each other abounds for your glory. So, Father, these things we bring before you and commit to you in the name above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray.
And Heavenly Father, we ask, first of all, we're thankful for Jacob and Amanda, and we're thankful for you providing somebody for this church going forward. And I ask that anybody who is here that can hear my voice or may hear it later on, that we continue to do our job and support Jacob and Amanda as well through prayer, through fellowship, through whatever means we have to support them, to make sure that Jacob's pastorate here is as good as it can be through you. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name.
And Lord, we thank you for your ministry granted as a gift from Jesus Christ at your right hand. And we thank you for Jacob and his walk with you, first of all. We pray that you would remind him constantly that it all flows from you. We pray for Jacob and Amanda and their marriage. We pray for their beautiful family. We ask that your blessing would be on each one of them as this church goes together as a team, as a local impact, a light shining out in Denver, Colorado. And Lord, we pray for the church ministry here, that many people would come and listen and know that something extraordinary is happening here. A ministry without compromise, a ministry distinct from the cotton candy that's out there in the world. Lord, we're grateful again for this occasion, and we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your word, and that we're forgiven in your Son, Jesus Christ. All glory to him and to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we have refreshments.